Welcome to the On the Gold podcast. Today, questions and answers from GPA members. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on the On the Gold podcast. My name is Kevin Hoagland. I am here with my co-host, Mr. Kevin Bell.
How's it going, Kev?
It's going great. And today is questions and answers from GPAA members. A new GPAA member, Dalio, sent in a list of questions that are absolutely great, and I think they deserve every bit of the answer that we can give them.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's like I've got like six sheets of printed stuff just to be able to answer this one new member's questions, which I wish more people would ask questions like this. This is a great set.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you got the questions in front of you?
I do, and I'll try to keep my paper rustling to a minimum as well.
Oh, all right. Well, hey, you know what? Paper rustling, as long as we're giving good information, doesn't really matter. All right, yep. So we're just going to jump right into this one. Dalio, statements and questions are, as a greenhorn who just got a GPA membership, I wanted to know the do's and don'ts of prospecting on various claims. Well, first off...
welcome to the GPA.
Exactly. Welcome to the Gold Prospectors Association of America. You will find that you are going to have a lot of fun in this organization. And if you involve yourself with different chapters and so on, you're going to learn and you're going to grow into this. You're going to grow in this great thing that we do that we call prospecting. Yeah. Okay, so let's get into this one. Mainly, I want to stay out of trouble with law enforcement and other members and claim owners by not doing something wrong that seems okay.
And that's something that obviously, we all as miners do. You know, we because of land ownership and claim ownership, you have to be cognizant of that.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? Let's get back to the basics of this one. Man, what a great question. What a great way to think. I mean, that somebody walking in going, hey, I'm really worried about doing the right thing. And even though I'm out there and it might seem like I'm doing it right, I want to make sure. So Dalio, man, that is fantastic.
Kudos.
So, okay, let's see. How do you stay out of trouble if you're on a GPAA claim? How do you stay out of trouble with other members? Well, first off, reclaim what you're working. If you dig a hole, when you're done with that hole, fill it back in.
Yes.
Yeah. There are
and even go so far as what I tend to do is I tend to find plenty. Those holes must breed because there's always several of them around where I'm working. So. Take an opportunity to fill in another one.
Yeah, absolutely. And, the way I look at it, and I agree, they breed. And not only is it an eyesore, you're not supposed to do that. It's real simple. And I posted a video on my Facebook website a while back, my Facebook site, and it was this incredible interview with BLM officials, and miners in the state of Alaska working hand in hand and closely together. And there was one line that was in it that was said that resonated between both the BLM and the miners. The 1872 mining law gave us the right to mine. But with that right to mine, it also gave us the responsibility of reclamation. What a powerful statement, because you are required to do your reclamation. You can't just go out, dig a hole and leave it. You have to reclamate, bottom line. Mm. All right. How to accidentally avoid claim jumping where I can and can't dig. I realize I can go to various government websites and find out the info, and I have. But the legalese is somewhat difficult to understand. Yeah, it really is. So, and I think... Right. Yeah, and I think what he's talking about here is using things like the BLM LR2000 and breaking that down to see what's available and what's not available. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. That's the number one website. You can find your areas, and then you go in to see if there are claims there and what's open. So, yeah, excellent tool to find places to mine.
Yeah, but you know what? That's not going to be a quick answer, so we're going to come back to that. We'll talk about the BLM LR2000. We'll talk about the PLSS system and then probably get into some other programs. But let's jump back to that one. Okay, now the next part.
Let me interject, please. I have to tell you that, when you're talking about claim jumping, you expect, and the law says that we have to mark our claims. you know, clearly mark our claims. But just like everything else, it's your responsibility to know whether you're on a claim or not. Because
exactly.
Unfortunately, claim markers get knocked over or stolen or whatever. It's ultimately your responsibility to make sure that you are not on a claim accidentally.
You know, that's one of the things I, especially as a GPA member, we have tools to be able to do that. Because, yeah, you're right. Claim markers disappear. They you know, they go away. And in some states, you're not required to have all your corner posts. You're required to have a point of discovery, but you don't have to have corner posts, which, you know, quite frankly, I think is kind of crazy because, you know, 20 years ago, before everybody had GPSs, it was, you, if you couldn't see something, you didn't quite know where you were unless you just absolutely knew how to use a topo map all the way down to feet. And I'll tell you, that's kind of a skill that's been lost over the years. All right. So also, how to find boundaries of claims. Man, what a great question. I'll tell you, the tool of the day is a GPS. You can get a GPS on your cell phone. And as long as you have service, you know, you'll be able to use your GPS. I prefer to have a handheld unit that I can take in the field with me. And I've taken GPS coordinates out of the online or out of the mining guide, downloaded them into one of the programs that I use, or actually data entered them into one of the programs that I use, and then download them back onto my GPS. I think at this point, I have virtually every claim in the state of Washington, Oregon, California, Arizona, Idaho, New Mexico, and Colorado. I have every claim loaded on my GPS.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, GPS, the price of those units has come down dramatically, and the features go up. So like you said, there was, in the old days, you couldn't have put all those waypoints on on the GPS, but now, you know, they're phenomenal.
Yeah, even my GPS has I've got a 64 gig micro SD card in it. So
wow.
Yeah, I've got a long way to go before I fill that up. All right, so back to the question, how about, and also how to find boundaries on the claim. If you have a GPS, you go to your printed mining guide, the GPAA 2018 printed mining guide. Every claim that we have in our inventory is listed. So you'll have an ingress, the way to get in. You'll have the center of the claim, which shows where, of course, the center. And then we have the northwest, northeast, southeast, north or southwest corners all listed in there. So you can do your data entry. You can do your data entry, put it in there, and then that way you know where you are on the claim. Just carry your GPS out there, give the claim a name. You know, like I said, I've downloaded every claim in those states, and I've got a few others that I need to do. Now, if this is where the GPAA online mining guide really comes in as a major, major tool.
Yep, that's the major update.
Yeah, exactly. So I've got my printed mining guide, and I want to go out to the ABC claim. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the online mining guide at goldprospectors.org, log on to my account, and then I'm going to go to the properties tab, member activity, I'm going to go to the state, and I'm going to go to the county, and I'm going to find that claim. Now, this is where it becomes very important. If you go on the online mining guide and that claim is not listed, that means that claim is no longer within our inventory.
Yeah.
Bottom line. But if you also, let's say you go into Z County and you're looking at it and you've got your printed mining guide and you see five claims, and then suddenly on the online mining guide, you see claim number 6, number 7, and number 8. That means that those are additional claims that we've added to the GPAA mining or the GPAA member inventory. If you see that and you want to get more information, then you go out of the properties tab and you go over to the learn and then go to the publications, go to the pick and shovel. And we have back issues of every pick and shovel that they go back right to the time that the 2018 mining guide, and even a little bit further, was printed. And you can go in there and you will be able to pull up, because all the pick and shovels have the new claims as they come in. So you can see that information. You can pull the coordinates off of it. And again, load those directly onto your GPS or write them down, however you're going to do it. But you'll have all that information because it's in the, it is in the archive of the pick and shovel. So that gives you all of that information.
I print them out or rip them out of my pick and shovel them and just stick them in the book.
Oh, I do the same thing. Every time I get a pick and shovel, and I don't like tearing mine up, so I just throw them on my flatbed copier and I make a copy of it, a full page copy, and tuck it into the book exactly where it's supposed to be. By the time the next mining guide comes out, and given the number of claims that we've added, I expect to have probably half as many more pages into my mining guide that are printed pages that came out of the pick and shovel. Get a GPS, check the pick and shovel, go to the online mining guide. On your printed mining guide, you can copy and then download all those to your GPS. You're good to go. All right, now the next one. Are the various club free to join? Dues? Kevin, you're my state director for the state of California. Why don't you answer this one?
Kevin, this is one of the great things about being a GPAA member. Chapters are free, not only free to, you know, to join the group, but as a member, you have free access to all the GPAA claims and chapters. So that's one of the unique things, that we have this group of claims that are pretty much in every state. We have claims, chapters available. So great opportunity for you to plug in and get access to both those things.
Yeah, there's over 100 chapters nationwide. So
yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right, so moving on. Well, dues. You know what? We can talk to you about the GPA chapter membership, absolutely free. Other organizations, other clubs, most of those are a membership club that you have to pay some sort of either a front-end yearly cost or a monthly ongoing cost, so ones like that. His next question, I'm getting ready to go on a claim in Utah and see what I can find, but unsure of what I can and can't do. And that one's pretty simple. The best resource for up-to-date information on regulations is the GPAA Online Mining Guide. If you know what claim you're going to go to, go on to the GPAA Online Mining Guide. Go to the Properties tab, pick the state, pick the county, bring up the claim that you're going to, and you've got three tabs. You've got a Getting There tab, a Prospecting tab, and a Regulations tab. Pick a claim and go to the Regulations tab. Now, speaking of the Online Mining Guide, before we go any further, it is the most incredible resource that we've ever created to help our members. It really is. It's up-to-date information. It's crowdsourced information, meaning that what you're finding on the Online Mining Guide is done by your peers. All right, let's tackle the BLM LR2000 and how to use that and the PLSS system to figure out exactly where you are and if there's anybody else around you.
Right.
Okay.
And by the way, the LR2000 is really the go-to tool if you're looking to get a claim for yourself, one thing, but to also make sure that you're not on people's claims. It's probably the number one tool to do that.
Yes, it is, because there's a lot of programs out there, but those programs will take like a section and they put the information of that section in, but they don't get it all the way down to the subdivision, all the way down to this 20 acres in this particular corner and so on like that. Now, in thinking about this and looking at some of the notes and so on, I'm going to say this right now. If you are driving, I'm going to tell you probably click off of this podcast for the time being, because the only way to do this is to pretty much visualize this. And if you're driving, I really don't want you visualizing a bunch of squares and this and that. Yeah.
Do not close your eyes and visualize.
Do not close your eyes to visualize. But if you're sitting at home, you're sitting in your office, grab a piece of paper and a pencil, because I'm going to ask you to do some drawings for right now. Hey, Kevin?
Yes.
I think we're going to make a video on this one as well.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
This would be the greatest way to do this. We're going to go ahead and talk about it. We're not going to get away from this. And we'll talk about it. We'll go through everything. But I think creating a video for the Gold Trails TV YouTube would be a perfect way to also help with this as well. I think right. So.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, it would help definitely.
Yeah, it really would. All right, so let's jump into this. So if you heard me, if you're sitting at home or sitting in your office, grab a couple pieces of paper, grab a pen, grab a pencil. We'll get started. If you're driving, please don't visualize any of this. Wait till you get home and then start drawing it out. Unless you're sitting at, if you're sitting at the intersection where the train's going by and it's one of the 20-mile trains, yeah, go ahead. So the BLM LR2000 is the repository of all claim information, public land mining states. To get to the LR2000, log on to BLM.gov. BLM.gov. And at the bottom of the page, you've got three boxes. And the one that you want to choose is going to be mineral management. When you click on that, it's going to bring up the page for the LR2000. And what you want to do is you want to go down to public mining claim reports. Now, we're going to go by claim name because you want to find out what's right around that. So you have the claim name. Put in that claim name. A couple of things that you have got to know about the LR2000. Everything is in caps. Lock your caps. Everything you do.
Number one thing. Hit cap lock.
That is the rule. Everything is done in caps because that's the way things are printed. Everything is done in caps. Lock your caps on. If not, you are going to be so frustrated. It's just going to absolutely make you crazy. Okay. So I've got the claim. I've got the claim name. So I'm going to, when you go to the LR2000, you go to the public, when you're on the pub MC claims page, you'll click on that and you'll see a big drop down. And if you're in the state of California, you're going to click California. If you're in the state of Arizona, you're going to put a little dot. Or if you want to look at some other areas, you can click all. I don't recommend it because you'll end up with thousands of responses in some cases. Click the state, go down, and you'll see a tab that says claim name. Move over, type all of that in, all in caps. Put the claim name in caps. And then right below that, you're going to see what they call the disposition, which is going to be, is it active? Is it closed? So on like that. Choose active because that's what you want to see. Now, right below that, the lower right-hand corner, you'll see a little box that just kind of lit up that says okay and press okay. And what's going to happen is it's going to bring up the information on that claim. Now, if you're working with the printed mining guide, inside the printed mining guide, when you're looking at the claim information, it's going to have the MC number or the mining claim number. In California, they are all CAMC. California, abbreviated, mining claim. Arizona is going to be AMC and a series of numbers. Right. When you know that's the right one, click on the number and a little tab will pop up and it looks like a little guy running and it says SRP.
Yeah.
Click on the SRP. And what that is that is the serial register page. That opens up the serial register page that gives you all of the information on the claim and the most important information for what we're talking about here. All right, so you've got that.
Yeah.
And one thing I'm going to tell you to do is at this point, if you're sitting at your computer, which you will be because you can't use the LR2000 anywhere else, open up a Word doc or open up a notepad. Do something because there's some things that you're going to cut and paste to make your life easier as we go on. So I'm going to open up a Word doc, tuck it off over to the other side of the page, and just have it there. So now the SRP opens up, and it tells me everything about the claim that I need to know. You're going to go down the page about halfway, and you're going to see a line that goes all the way across the page. On the top side of that line, it says MER for Meridian, yeah. TWP for Township, RNG for Range, and then SEC for Section. And then on the other side of the page, it'll say Subdivision. When we get into the PLSS, I'll talk about what a meridian is, but know that in every state, a meridian will be named something, but the BLM has the meridian as a numeric value.
Everything's a number.
Right. Everything's a number. The BLM only recognizes the state of Arizona as meridian number 14. All right. So I've got that. And now I'm going to take my cursor, and right below that, I will see a series of numbers, and I'm going to use a claim in Arizona to demonstrate this. So the MER, right below that, you're going to see the number 14. Then township, the TWP for here is going to be 0090N. And then under the range, it's going to have 0040W for this particular one that I'm looking at. And then, of course, you're going to have your section, which is section 17. And then the subdivision on this particular claim is northeast, southwest, SE. So it's NE, SW, SE. And all of that will make sense as we get along a little bit further.
Yeah. And by the way, Kev, you know, as you're going through this, those fields are fixed width. So if you have, you know, 19 instead of 4, you actually have to place like it would be 0190.
Right.
So you got to kind of, as you watch that, you've got to make sure that you're putting it in the right framework or you're going to get, shall we say, odd results.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times now it just kicks you out. It won't even accept it because your meridian is going to be 2-digit. Your township and range will always be 5 digits. So in this case, we've got 0090N for the township. Well, that township is actually 9 North. There is no 90 North, it's 9 North. So to put that into where the LR2000 geo index is going to understand it, I put 2 zeros in front of the main number, and I put 1 zero behind it, and then I put in the northern, north or south. So it would on that one, it would be 0090N, which means 9 North. Mm-hmm. And then when we get into the range, of course, it's another 5. So it's 0040W. So it's meridian 14, 9 North, 4 West, section 17. Easiest way to remember it. Just if you're, when you're looking at it on that, pull out the zeros.
Exactly.
All right, so we got all that. You've cut and pasted that or copied and pasted that onto a Word file and just look at it and make sure that you have your zeros, that you have your north, you have your west, you have all of that. But mostly and most importantly, make sure you still have your cap locks on.
Right, yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is they do have a search. You know, you can actually go in and, you know, do a drop down that will help you to fill in that field.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, it is really, really slow. So it's always best to, you know, type that in yourself rather than going through the search mode.
Yeah. The time that it takes to get that drop down to work, if it were Rhode Island, I could have already driven to the claim and gone prospecting. So yeah, copy, paste it. When you come back over, you're going to get out of that part of the report. You're going to go back to the main page and you're going to go to PUB MC mining claim geo index report. That's it. You'll click on that and it's going to bring up the instruction sheet on how to do this properly, how to add everything in. The good thing is you've already got it because you cut and pasted it and you have two major choices. You have what's called MTR, which is meridian, township, and range. And then you have MTRS, which is?
That's meridian, township, range, and section.
You have your meridian, your township, your range, and your section because you've copied and pasted it to your other sheet, your Word doc. Now just take that and copy and paste it to the MTRS field. Choose your state again. And then choose your disposition, which is going to be active. And you click that. And once that goes in, you're going to see the section that you're looking at. And within that, not only are you going to see that claim, you're going to see all the other claims in that section. The thing about a section is a section is 1 square mile. Now, I want to get that down a little bit further. So when you go back a page, now just go back and you'll see the MTRS, you drop that information in it, and then down below it, you will see where it says subdivision. So in this case, I can put in NE, Northeast, SW, Southwest, SE as a subdivision, along with the MTRS information, click enter, and that will take it all the way down to, in this case, going to the northeast of the southwest of the southeast, we're talking about 20 acres. And it will show you every claim that's right around that claim.
Yeah, and that, you know, the biggest thing that, you know, when you're going out and either looking for claims or, you know, making sure that you're not on people's claims, realize that when you look in this, there may be that thing where you can see there's an obvious overstep from claim to claim, you know, and that's kind of confusing to you, but just realize that that will probably be sorted out at some point.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not the BLM, you know, the BLM is not the, you know, not the, the claim police.
No, they're not. They're absolutely not. All right. That's the simplicity of using the LR2000. It really is. Is there anything else you want to add to that? I mean,
once you get used to using that and you're used to using, you know, the combination of the PLSFs and that gives you the numbers to plug into the, LR2000, it's really, really simple once you get used to using it.
Oh,
and again, a super tool.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Let's jump into the PLSS, the Public Land Survey System. The PLLS system takes the land and it breaks it down all the way down to a 20-acre. Well, actually, no, beyond that. If I'm a real estate agent and I'm using the PLSS or a developer, I can use the PLSS system to get it all the way down to a single lot in areas where the survey has been done throughout the entire state. And Kevin, the entire state of California has been surveyed. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And I was going to say, as I've gone through looking at claims in other areas, most of the United States has been done. Boy, I was going to say before like the 1950s. So a lot of the stuff was done. There's updates. Always. But that's the thing. If you're looking at something now, you know, it may change over time. And then what's interesting, too, is, you know, everything tends to be squares. The problem is you'll find things on the maps that are, you know, withdrawn areas or, you know, there's other changes to it. And it tends to now look kind of convoluted.
Yes.
You know, where they're not perfectly square.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's usually something going on with that.
Yeah. And when you start, if you're using programs where you can get a PLSS overlay and things like that, you will see corrections because like Kevin just said, you've got withdrawn areas, you've got this, you've got that. But also the PLSS system is basically flat earth. If you threw it out there, it's pretty much just flat earth. And now they had to make corrections of it because, well, the earth's not flat. I'm sorry for all of you flat earthers out there.
I was just going
to
say that.
Yeah, I mean, I know it. I hate to say this, but every mapping, you know, they have to make corrections because I'm sorry to say the earth is not flat. Get used to it. All right.
Dang it. I guess I'm going to have to sell my t-shirt.
There you go. Well, hang on to it because, you know, you never know. You might go to a planet that is flat someday. All right. So what the PLSS system does is it subdivides everything in the United States, everything that was in the public land domain and so on like that. I tell you what, the easiest thing for me to do is just use the state of Arizona because that is the one that I use the most and it's the one I'm just absolutely totally familiar with. Now I'm going to take the state of Arizona and I'm going to create a vertical line through the center of the state, and I'm going to create a horizontal line through the center of the state. Oh, hold on. That doesn't work in the state of Arizona because the PLSS is Public Land Survey System. Almost the entire northeast corner of the state of Arizona is a sovereign nation of the Navajo. So that's not within public land. That changes things. So in Meridian 14, or the Gila and Salt Meridian, they chose where the Gila and Salt River come together, where the confluence is, and that is actually to the southwest of the city of Phoenix. So it's not dead set. It's not right in the center. And then, so now we have a north, where we have a vertical line and we have a horizontal line. The meridian, my vertical line is north and south. My horizontal line is east and west, which is the baseline.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. Now, within this, I'm going to start building townships. And a township is 36 square miles. So now I'm going to start filling in townships. And again, a township is 36 square miles. So I'm going to start filling these in until I've got all my townships that I can, north and south, east and west, all the way across. I've got 36 square miles to make up a township. So each township, they design them to where the township, it's so many townships north and south of the baseline, and so many ranges east and west of the meridian. So you're dealing with townships which are going to be going north and south of the baseline, and ranges which are going to be the east and west of a meridian. Here's an easy thing to always remember this. If you use topo maps, the left-hand margin of every topo I've ever seen has the townships listed going up and going down, the township numbers. Your up and down, your vertical is going to be your township. And then on the bottom of your topo map, the ranges are listed all the way across the bottom. So your horizontal is going to be your ranges. Your vertical is going to be your townships. And I hope when you drew out your square, you're taking notes on your piece of paper. All right. I don't think there's anything else to cover on that one. I mean, that one's pretty simple. Now I have a township, and within that township, which is 36 square miles, I now have 36 sections, because a section is 640 acres or 1 square mile. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for all of you that have your pencil and paper handy, here's what I want you to do. I want you to draw a line through that square from the top to the bottom, north to south in the center. And then to do the same thing going east and west horizontally from the center. So what you've now done is you've now taken your 1 square mile, 640 acres, and you've turned it into 4 separate boxes. Now what I want you to do is in the upper left-hand corner, I want you to write northwest, or just NW. And make it small, because you're going to end up adding some other things below this. And the one to the right hand, you're going to write NE for northeast. Go down to the lower right, and that's going to be SE, southeast. And then move over to the lower left, SW, which is southwest. What we have now is we have 4 equal squares. And each one of those squares is 160 acres. And it's called a quarter. So I have a quarter of the whole. So now we're at 160 acres of each one. Within, I'll tell you what, take the northeast square, the one to the upper right, and draw 2 more lines through it. 2 more, 1 vertical, 1 horizontal, through the center of it. All right, now on this one, I want you to write in the upper left-hand corner, northwest quarter. And then right below that, write northeast, or NE, quarter. Go to the one to the right of that, which is the northeast corner, and you're going to write NE, quarter. Below that, you're going to write NE, quarter. And then you do the same thing below. SE, quarter, then SW, quarter of the NE, quarter. And we've now divided that down into quarters.
So right, into 40-acre parcels.
Right, into 40-acre parcels. So now that I'm on the northeast side, I'm on that northeast quarter, that right-hand, upper right-hand quarter, now I have the northwest quarter of the northeast quarter. And I have the northeast of the northeast, the southeast of the northeast, and the southwest of the northeast. That's 40 acres. We've now taken 640, broke it down to 4 160s, and now with two lines, we've now made it 4 40-acre parcels. Man, that wears me out. Now, we can continue to divide this down, which if we're mining, if we're mining and we're trying to set a claim, so we have to take it down one last time to where now I have that 40 acre. Now we've got our quarters of our quarters, and now we're going to break that down one more time. Let's move over to the northwest quarter. Draw your line, your horizontal and vertical, to break that from 160 down to 440s. Inside of one 40-acre claim, make a horizontal line. Now what you've done is you've taken that 40 acres and broke it down into two. And the way that's going to be represented on a mining claim is that is going to be the north half of the northwest quarter of the northwest quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that all drawn out, just think about it. We're taking 1 square mile. We're dividing it into quarters. We're dividing that into quarters and dividing that into quarters all the way down to 20 acres. And you got it. That's it.
And Kev, I just want to say too, is you can also do that east-west.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you have to do that east-west.
Right. So what I'm saying is you can either have the north half of the northwest, northwest, and then south, or mm-hmm. you can have east and west.
Right. Absolutely.
So if it's a vertical 20 acres rather than a horizontal 20 acres.
Right. And everything breaks out. I mean, it's when you're filing a 20 acre mining claim, or when you're looking at a claim, most places they're absolutely requiring an aliquot positioning, which means that it has to fit within that quarter of the quarter of the quarter. But as you and I were talking about earlier, some of the older claims, including a lot of the GPA claims, don't necessarily follow that, do they?
No. So you've got to be careful. Your printed mining guide, they will show the shape of the claim. And, if you see that it might be, long and skinny from north to south, or possibly from east to west, or, have a little tail that will span a couple of extra sections. So you really have to watch, on the GPAA claims, the basic shape. And it will be a little different then, because things have changed since a lot of those claims were done.
Oh, yeah. And, what's actually really interesting is Delio is talking about going to a claim in Utah. And actually, I know what claim he's talking about. And that is actually a series of five hard rock claims that have one center, and then everything else goes out basically as like spokes off of it.
Mm, wow.
So it's five low claims, not a singular plaster claim, because you really have to look at the shape. You have to look at what's going on. You have to understand where you're going to be and what you're going to be doing. So let's just do a really, really fast recap. I went to the BLM LR 2000 to pull up the name of the claim that I know where I'm going to go. I brought up the SRP. I took out the MTRS information and also the subdivision. I went back. I put that into the geoindex. I brought that up. And I've taken that, and now I see exactly what's around me in that 20 acres. I now understand the PLSS system of taking 36-square mile township, bringing it down to 1 square mile, bringing it down to 160 acres, bringing it down to 40 acres, bringing it down to 20 acres, and just a couple of very, very quick steps. Got it? We're good. Hopefully, when you're looking at your paper, you see everything. So now let's go back and talk about some of the tools that make your life so much easier in doing this. I manage the claims department, and with managing the claims department, I have to be able to use tools that I'm familiar with, that I can do things very, very quickly. The BLM LR 2000 is something I work with on a day-to-day basis. Google Earth is a tool that I work with on a daily basis, and I'm going to toss out a couple of others. And I'm not saying that these are the only programs, but these are a couple of programs that I use And quite frankly, Kevin, I think between the two of us, we could probably do an entire other podcast that's more advanced on the different tools and how they function and what they do. So make a note of that one, because I think we'll do that, that more advanced, you know, software that's out there. I'll take Google Earth, and I use a program called EarthPoint. EarthPoint allows me to lay out township, range, and section, and then I can lay out the PLSS on top of that. And then from there, I use a couple of other programs like Mindcache, Earth Matters, Land Matters. I use those programs. But what I was saying at the very beginning of this is that those programs will tell you that inside a section, there's 25 mining claims. And you can bring up the serial register page, you can look at it, and you can get it down to that subdivision, and that will tell you, you know, you can get a little bit more information. You didn't necessarily have to go through all the BLM information, but I choose to go to the source, and then everything else I use as a checker. I want to make sure that I've got the right information, and that information comes directly from the BLM, DLR 2000. So I use these, and I said, you know, I use EarthPoint, Mindcache, Land Matters, Google Earth, and Google Earth is absolutely free. The rest of these programs are either a subscription base or a donation base. So, you know, some of them have a free trial.
Right.
Take your time.
And you got to be more, you know, you got to be comfortable too. And the only way to get comfortable is to just roll your sleeves up and dive in.
Yeah, exactly. I think that pretty well covers it. Oh, you know what? There is one thing I want to say about Google Earth. I use the old Google Earth Pro because it's something I'm absolutely used to. And it means that I use an outside program. I use the EarthPoint program. There is a new version of Google Earth, and there is a PLSS overlay that is free for Google Earth. And it's PLSGE. So Public Land Survey Google Earth. PLSGE. If you use the newest version of Google Earth, find that PLSGE, load it in, it will pop up and it gives you the option to turn it on and turn it off when you're using your Google Earth. Because when you start looking at all the western states broke down to these little 36 square or these 1 square mile blocks, it becomes yeah. pretty populated.
Really, yeah, it's populated. Dizzying.
Yeah. Dalio. Yeah, I'm sorry I butchered your name, buddy. Fantastic questions. I hope that we've done a good job in answering all of these questions for you. Wow. I mean, this is great. This is very exciting to kind of give you an idea of how to use these different systems and get this thing down to where you can instantly look at a claim. And your question was, how do I know that I'm not on somebody else's claim? I'm sorry that we took the long way. No, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry at all that we took the long way around the cup to get back to the handle. But hopefully you and everybody else will understand how these programs work together to bring the earth down to just a little tiny space. It is going to have to take a video. This will be a video. Keep your eye out. Yeah, keep your eye out on the Gold Trails TV. That's YouTube, Gold Trails TV. And keep an eye on that, and we will post a video. Hopefully, we'll get it shot in the next few days, get it posted up there so you can watch everything that we were just talking about and see it graphically detailed of getting down to that part and understanding the BLM LR 2000 and the Public Land Survey System. Thank you for your time listening to the On the Gold podcast. Both Kevin and I hope that we were able to give you some information that you will be able to use to go out and not only get out and prospect, but find your own gold. Until the next time, be good to yourself, and we will see you somewhere out there prospecting.